All right, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews here in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. And I am going to read the first six verses of this book, Hebrews, chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. From the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, God's word says this: Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house. If we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I just ask a blessing on this, not only this reading here this morning, but this message that I'm about to give. I pray that it's acceptable to you. I pray that you use everything that happens here this morning to help transform our lives so that we become closer to Jesus Christ. As always, you will get the praise and glory. And I'm going to just hide behind the cross here, Lord. And I'm going to decrease, and I want you to increase, because only you deserve that praise and glory and the thanks. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. The book of Hebrews is written to Hebrews, Jewish people, the Israelites, call them what you want. And the Jewish people were also a very proud group of people. And they had their share of great people in their past also, just like we as Americans have great people in our past. And that's what makes this book so interesting. The writer of the book of Hebrews, and we don't know exactly who that is. Some people say it is the Apostle Paul. Some people say it might have been Barnabas. Some people say Apollos. We really don't know who it is. We'll just call the writer of Hebrews. But he wants to make it perfectly clear to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews, that they have great people, and even though they've had great people in their genealogy, and they have, that now there's a new kid in town. And his name is Jesus Christ. And the writer of this book warns the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, that they better listen up and pay attention to what Jesus Christ has to say and to what this writer has to say about him. The writer wants to make it known this, that Jesus is superior to everything that they may have known about the great people from their past, and also some great things from their past. And he makes five comparisons, and we're going to look at those today. We'll go through them rather quickly, and they will be the five fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin here this morning. Number one, Jesus is greater than these five things that they may have thought rather superior. Number one, Jesus is superior to angels. And we read about that. The entire chapter 1 of Hebrews is all about that. And the Jewish people would have been familiar with angels. Well, especially if you come from the Pharisee point of view, if you come from the Sadducee point of view, you don't believe in angels or the hereafter or anything else. But if you come from the Pharisee point of view, oh, you certainly did. And you were familiar with angels. And they knew that angels were messengers from God. And that made them very important. They held angels in very high esteem. In Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36, an angel of the Lord put to death 185,000 Assyrians in one night. In the book of Daniel, an angel rescues three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from the fiery furnace. And an angel of the Lord also rescues Daniel from the mouth of the lions in the lion's den. There are exactly 108 occurrences of the word angel in the Old Testament. And the Jewish people would have been familiar with most, if not all, of those episodes. But the Jewish people must now know this. The Hebrew people must now know this, that this Jesus is the Son of God, and He's superior to all the angels. After all, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 tells us what angels are. They are just ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So, number one, Jesus is superior to angels. Let's look at number two. The list gets a little more complex. Jesus is superior to Abraham. Well, what did the Hebrew people think of Abraham? Well, Abraham was the father of the entire Hebrew Jewish nation. He was their patriarch. And God Himself made a covenant with Abraham concerning a promise: Abraham, all your descendants will be blessed. Well, that makes Abraham a very important person in the eyes of the Hebrew people. In John chapter 8, the Jews are arguing with Jesus, and they're elevating their father Abraham over everyone. And we remember the story of Genesis 22 of Abraham. He's one of the champions of the faith, right? Because he goes up to Mount Moriah when he went to sacrifice his son Isaac. And the Hebrew people knew the importance that Abraham had in their lives. But Abraham had a flaw that Jesus did not have. You say, Abraham, he was a sinner. But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in every way, but was without sin. So the Hebrew people must now know that this Jesus is the Son of God, and He is superior to Abraham. After all, in John chapter 8, verse 58, tells us that Jesus says this, and He tells the Jews, "Before Abraham was born, I am." So, Jesus is superior to angels. He's superior to Abraham. And then we get to the third one. Jesus is superior to Moses. And I could just see the Hebrew people reading this letter, maybe getting a little stirred up right about now. You might talk about the angels, and okay, I'll give you that one with Abraham, but don't mess with my man Moses. What did the Jewish people think about Moses? Well, to the Jew, Moses was the greatest prophet ever. To them, he was probably the greatest person that ever walked the face of the earth. He was at the burning bush, and he spoke with God constantly. He was the deliverer of the Israelites out of Egypt. He received the law from God, and then he gave it to the Israelites. And what do we call the law? The law is called the Mosaic Law. It's named after Moses. Moses led the Israelites for 40 years in the desert, and God performed miracles through Moses. And all these things and more made Moses probably the most important person ever to the Jewish person. But in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, it tells us this, that Moses was only a servant of God. And he was a servant in God's house. And that this Jesus was worthy of greater honor because Jesus was the Son. And it was His house where Moses was serving. The Jewish people must now know that this Jesus is the Son of God, and He is superior to Moses. After all, in John chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us this, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So here you are, you're a Jewish person, you're a Hebrew, and you're reading this letter, and I don't know exactly where your level of frustration is at this point, because you've just been told that Jesus is greater than the angels, Jesus is greater than Abraham, and Jesus is greater than Moses. And you might be a little irate just about now. But the writer of Hebrews continues on with a fourth point. And he says this: Jesus is superior to the high priest. He's superior to the high priest. Let's answer this question first before we get into exactly the high priest. In the book of Hebrews, there's a mention of a man named Melchizedek. And this man is mentioned 9 times in the book of Hebrews. Who exactly is this guy, Melchizedek? Well, you have to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 18, to find out anything about Melchizedek, and it's only no more than about 2 or 3 verses. The scripture says this about Melchizedek: Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. That's pretty much all it says. So who was this man Melchizedek? He was a priest appointed by God himself. And he was a forerunner of the Levitical priestly system. Let me give you some Old Testament law here just for a second. In the Levitical law, there was a priestly system set up with the high priest being at the top of the ladder. The high priest was selected by men, from men, and these men had to be a descendant of Aaron. The Jews thought very, very highly of the priest, and they felt extremely high of the high priest. Let me just give you an example of this. I'm going to read from the book of Acts, just 5 quick verses to you. Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. And this is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's before the Sanhedrin, which is made up of Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, and the high priest. And this is what it says in those first 5 verses of chapter 23. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "You dare to insult God's high priest?" Then Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" So even the Apostle Paul knew that the high priest was held in very high esteem by the Jewish people. But the Jewish people must now know that this Jesus is the Son of God, and he is superior to all the high priests. After all, a high priest could intercede between men and God only as a man could intercede for another man. And a high priest would eventually die and be replaced by another man who became the new high priest. But Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So, Jesus is now greater than the angels, greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, greater than the high priest. And then there's a final 5th one here that the book of Hebrews tells us about. Jesus is superior to the sacrificial system. Jesus is superior to the sacrificial system. And I can just see the Hebrews reading this book saying, "No, wait a second. This is where I draw the line." And this fifth and final fill in the blank ties in with the one before that, with the high priest, because Jesus is not only superior to the high priest, Jesus is the new and only high priest. What did the Jews think of the sacrificial system? It was the part of the Mosaic law that granted forgiveness of sins. How did that work? Here's a real quick summary of the old Levitical law of how this happened. Sometime in your spare time, go back and read Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 through 34, and it outlines how this is done. And here's how it was done, real quickly. Once a year, the high priest would enter what they called the Holy of Holies, and he would spread the blood of a bull on the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Holy of Holies. Then the high priest was to also bring two goats with him. One was to be sacrificed for all the sins of the Israelite people, and its blood of that one, the first goat, was also sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. The other goat, the second goat, was used as a, you've heard this word before, a scapegoat. The high priest would place his hands on the head of this second goat, and he confessed over it all the rebellion and wickedness and all the sins of all the Israelites. And then he would send this goat out with an appointed man out and be released into the wilderness. This scapegoat symbolically carried on itself all the sins of the people, which were forgiven for another year. You wanted to be present at this time because you wanted your sins to be forgiven by this ritual that was going on, which was called the Day of Atonement, the day when your sins would be forgiven. And this sacrifice was of extreme importance to the Jewish people. This is the day that they wanted their sins to be forgiven. The Jewish people still celebrate this Day of Atonement today. They call it Yom Kippur. I'm sure you've heard of that. But the Jewish people must now know that this Jesus is the Son of God, and he is superior to their sacrificial system. Better yet, he is the sacrificial system. The blood of Jesus Christ is the new covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The old covenant is now obsolete, and it's aging, and it will disappear, and it has disappeared. The perfect sacrifice of the unblemished Lamb of God has appeared once and for all, and it has done away with sin by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. So those are the five things. So why is it important for the writer of the book of Hebrews to explain these things to the Jewish people? The reason is quite similar to a reason I want to give us today. Because people don't like change. People don't like change. Let me mention just a few things. And maybe these are things you don't like to change either. Don't rearrange the furniture. Don't give me a new software program that I have to learn. I just got done learning the old one. Don't change the times of the church service. I just got done setting the alarm for the other time. Don't switch health providers on me. My goodness, I just got to figure out what my old health insurance provider was up to. And now I got a new one? Don't upset my routine. I like my routine. And whatever you do, don't change my religion. I like my religious system. I'm comfortable in my religious system. It works for me. Don't change it. Well, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, They must understand that much of what they know about Judaism and the Mosaic Law has just been superseded by a new deliverer, a new high priest, and a new covenant. And that kind of change, for many people, is not that simple to make. And the writer of this book, the writer of Hebrews, he delivers, along with those changes, stern warnings throughout this book. I believe you find them in chapters 2, 6, and 10. And he's saying this, listen, if you don't jump on board the ship that's being piloted by Jesus Christ, your eternal soul is going to be in jeopardy. Forget about what you knew about Judaism and the Mosaic Law. It's been superseded, my friends, by a new deliverer, a new high priest, a new sacrifice, and a new covenant. And we need to jump on board. Because all the promises of the Old Testament have just now come true. The Messiah has appeared. There is a new covenant. I say it every Sunday before we have communion. Jesus says, this is the blood of the new covenant offered up for you. The new covenant. The old has gone. It's done away with. It's being superseded. So I ask, what religious system are you a part of today? Are you part of the one of the right one that's been established by Jesus Christ, and we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ simply by faith in that sacrifice and what he's already done for us? Or do we buy into some other false system? There's a new kid in town, Hebrews, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I hope they listened up. Let's go to God in prayer.